Did you know that St. Luke's University Health Network, based in the Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania, has been recognized by the U.S. government as the highest performing health system in the United States for quality? You heard right. St. Luke's number one recognition affirms our status as the top leader among the most respected healthcare providers in the nation, including Houston Methodist and the Mayo Clinic. To state it simply, if you want to receive the best care when you go to a hospital, come to St. Luke's.
It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noah Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, traffic, Justin Ellick, sports. And now,
talking the news with Noah
on 77 WABC.
Yes, that's me. Good morning. It is Thursday, January 29th. Your forecast from the 77 WABC Weather Center. Sunshine today. It's not going to warm up, though. High 22. And then tonight and overnight, clear. Low 8. Friday, sunny. The high's only 18. And if you're walking out with the door with us right now, it is 1 and clear in Katona up in Westchester County. 5 and clear in Harrison over in New Jersey. And it's 6 and clear right outside our Midtown studios.
This is the Top 5 at 5.
Oh, this is fun. Another storm could be heading our way this weekend. Why did a driver slam his car into a synagogue? Congressman Tom Suozzi is shouted down at a town hall. A Brooklyn woman shocked to see who broke into her apartment. And how much would you pay someone to dig out your car? All right, 501, let's get into it. It is all about the cold still. Mayor Mamdani says there's been no new cold deaths in New York City, though there was one on a subway yesterday they're investigating, but he says the number stands at 10. Some say it's 11. He was asked about these deaths either way.
We are suspecting at this time that of the 10 deaths that we have spoken about, that about 7 had hypothermia playing a role. Of the 10 who had died, about 6 were known to the Department of Homeless Services.
Now all 10 being autopsied, their blood work being sent to a lab before the medical examiner releases final results, which Mamdani said would probably take 5-7 days.
There have been no additional outdoor deaths since we last spoke. Since last night, we have made about 30 additional placements.
Now, there was somebody found on a number one train yesterday in Fieldston up in the Bronx, and people think that he may have frozen to death or had some sort of condition that was because of the cold. They're investigating that. Would be 11. New York City is trying to keep everybody warm, meanwhile.
Baby, it's cold outside. New York City is opening more warming centers and mobilizing more warming buses as the thermometer plummets to dangerously cold temps. Mayor Mamdani released a video urging New Yorkers to take precautions with the cold.
When it comes to getting New Yorkers out of the cold, we are leaving no stone unturned. And if you see someone out in the cold who looks like they may need help, please call 311. Stay safe, stay warm.
There have been 10 deaths with possible links to the weather since Saturday. Temps aren't expected to reach the 30s until Monday, and another storm may brush us on Sunday. Lisa Ritchie, 77 WABC News.
And then there's another storm that's coming our way. It's Sunday. Now, it's not clear we're going to get snow. It's going to come more into focus, I guess, probably tomorrow. But the five boroughs could receive between 1 and 3 inches of snow. The issue on Sunday will be the wind gusts of about 45 miles per hour. It comes, of course, after winter storm Fern brought a lot of snow in the city to a halt. So snow, this is the initial forecast. Again, it could change because today is only Thursday, but snow would arrive early Sunday morning, continue into Sunday evening. It would be kind of an all-day affair, but it wouldn't be a ton. They're saying 1 to 3 inches. So early morning moves out 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock on Sunday night. Of course, we'll continue to follow that. And as that takes place, it's a matter of what to do with all the snow that's here. The Department of Sanitation, as we told you yesterday, started to move this snow from different parts of the five boroughs to these warming stations where they put them in these like spa-like baths that are like 38 degrees and melted down. I was actually watching them do this as I came in to work this morning. They had these trucks that they were filling up on 34th Street. You're going to go to the high-profile areas first and clear them out. So this was right near Macy's. They were moving the snow out early this morning, about 2:30 or so.
We plan on running this system for the next couple of weeks. There's a lot of snow out there. As you see, the big pile behind me there is about a football field's worth of snow. And there's plenty, plenty more of it to go.
And so it goes into these hot tubs, which are, again, about 38 degrees, and they're designated melting station in each borough where the hot tub is set up. It's over a DEP-approved sewer that has the capacity to take in all the water, so they can process like 60 to 120 tons of snow per hour, which sounds like a lot, but when you think about how much snow on the ground, it's not a whole lot.
DEP has treatment systems all across the city where you get any kind of stormwater runoff or any kind of discharge, they treat the water and it goes into their system and they treat it, and that's where it ends up.
Yeah, so here's the news, is the snow's going to stay around for a couple more days. We may get a couple inches on top of that on Sunday, but I was looking at the weather next week. We get above freezing as soon as Monday. Now, whether that'll melt it, it's only in the 30s the next couple of days after that. Don't know. We'll have to wait and see. WABC News Time 505, a man who reportedly once sought guidance from Jewish leaders was arrested last night after he repeatedly rammed his car into a Brooklyn synagogue and then bizarrely claimed to cops afterwards that it slipped. So this gray Honda sedan with New Jersey plates was seen backing up and plowing into the side entrance of the Chabad Lubavitch World Headquarters in Crown Heights. And apparently he went back and forth into this door three or four times. Along the way, the witnesses say he was telling those witnesses to get out of the way. And there was some sort of celebration going on, so there was a lot of people at the World Headquarters, some sort of Chabad celebration. Here's a witness who saw the whole thing play out.
He's yelling at the boys to move out the way as they were standing in the driveway, and he pulls his car in and then he starts ramming the building, driving in, reversing, driving in again, just driving in and out. Did it about five times. Straight away, boys ran to, there's a police unit parked outside the main entrance to the building, and ran, the police came and pulled him out of the car, arrested him. He was about 6 foot, long hair. He was just in his, wearing a shirt but just underwear.
So the Chabad Lubavitch headquarters is on Eastern Parkway. This was about 9 o'clock last night. NYPD brought in the hate crime task force to investigate this incident in a hate crime. It's not really 100% clear that is the case. In fact, some people who were nearby recognized this individual. And then as you heard from him, one person said he got out of the car and he was in underwear. So clearly there were some mental health issues going on there. The driver claimed to cops that he suffered some type of mechanical issue, but the eyewitnesses there say, no, no, no. He went back and forth for maybe five separate times. Now, police commissioner showed up last night. So did Mayor Mamdani.
Any threat to a Jewish institution or place of worship must be taken seriously. Antisemitism has no place in our city.
Now, as of early this morning, that had not identified this individual, and probably more to the story. And of course, as it comes into us, we'll pass it on to you. WABC News Time 508. I'm in the middle of writing a piece for WABCRadio.com about whether taxing the rich, if there's good examples of taxing the rich working in cities across the country. Maybe you were following the story yesterday. One of Mayor Mamdani's plans, he announced this when he was running for office, is that he wanted to tax the rich to pay for some programs in New York City. He's again talking about that now because there is a $12 billion budget hole he said he did not see coming before he got into office. And he blames Eric Adams and Andrew Cuomo for that budget hole.
Mayor Mamdani is blasting former Mayor Eric Adams and former Governor Andrew Cuomo, accusing them of creating an enormous $12 billion budget crisis for New York City.
We are speaking about a fiscal crisis at the scale greater than the Great Recession.
And he's renewing his call to tax the rich.
And it means that the time has come to tax the richest New Yorkers and most profitable corporations. This is the wealthiest city and the wealthiest country in the history of the world. And yet we have allowed one in four New Yorkers to live in poverty.
Lisa G, 77 WABC News.
Over in New Jersey and Newark, they have seen illegal immigrants deported recently during a number of ICE operations. And one local resident allegedly took advantage of that in order to carry out a crime.
Julio Garcia Barrera of Newark faces charges after authorities say he posed as an ICE agent. Cops arrested him after Garcia Barrera allegedly told his victims he was an immigration officer while wearing a jacket with the letters ICE on it. One victim was robbed of $500 cash, the same suspect Garcia Barrera blamed for a different similar crime in Newark last weekend. James Flippin, 477 WABC News.
WABC News Time 510. Let's go down to D.C. Fed Chair Jerome Powell not providing any hints about any future interest rate cuts after the Federal Reserve left them unchanged yesterday. Powell says any rate decisions would be based on future data as it comes in.
We're not making decisions about future meetings, but we do think we're well positioned after those three cuts to let the data speak to us.
And Powell would only restate the Fed's goal of maximum employment into inflation. He did note the American economy is on firm footing with the exception of the housing market. And he says inflation is trending downward. Of course, all good things.
The data have come in and sentiment, the beige book, everything comes in suggesting that this year starts off on a solid footing for growth. Haven't made any decisions about future meetings, but, you know, the economy is growing at a solid pace. The unemployment rate has been broadly stable. So we'll be looking to our goal variables and letting the data light the way for us.
In a couple of minutes, we'll see how the markets responded to all that yesterday, that news. 5:11, Minnesota senators urging Congress to delay funding for the Department of Homeland Security unless changes are made. Democrats Amy Klobuchar and Tina Smith spoke on the Senate floor yesterday outlining reforms they say must come before any vote to fund ICE.
I want to be clear, we are pro public safety in Minnesota. We have worked often with federal authorities to catch bad guys and lock them up. But we need ICE out of Minnesota.
The senators' demands include ending roving vans of ICE agents and establishing a formal training system and code of conduct.
It is good that Bovino was removed. Other people have to be removed too. Kristi Noem shouldn't be in her job anymore. But mostly, we need these ICE agents out of Minnesota. There must be new leadership in the Department of Homeland Security now. And there must be major reforms to these agencies before this Congress should approve another cent.
They also called for banning masked officers and requiring body cameras. Meanwhile, a Texas congressman demanding the release of a 5-year-old boy, his father, who were detained by officers, ICE officers in Minnesota last week, Joaquin Castro. He visited the father and son at a detention center near San Antonio yesterday where they're being held.
He's asked about his backpack and his cap that he was wearing when they picked him up in Minnesota.
Homeland Security claims the man ran away, abandoned his child when officers tried to arrest
him. He's been asking about his family, his mom, and his classmates, and saying that he wants to go be back in school with his classmates. I told them that we would do everything that we could to get him out of there.
Right.
I demanded from ICE that they release him. I told them that most of America wants Liam released, and that he should really be released immediately.
And Minnesota Governor Tim Walz says it's absolutely outrageous for Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem to still have her job after the shooting of Alex Preddy, the ICU nurse, and the second involving immigration officers. But correspondent Garrett Hake reports President Trump has not changed his position on Kristi Noem.
The president, who met with Noem for hours in the Oval Office Monday night, standing by her.
I think she's doing a very good job. The border is totally secure.
As White House staff scrambled to deal with the fallout from the shooting.
WABC News Time 514. While we're talking about the president, he is warning Iran that a massive armada is heading its way. Correspondent Keir Simons reports that the president's telling Iranian leaders that if they don't make a nuclear deal soon, the next attack will be far worse than last year's Operation Midnight Hammer,
which he describes as a major destruction of Iran. He says the next attack will be far worse. Now, Midnight Hammer came after Israel's 12-day war with Iran and 14 bunker-busting bombs and Tomahawk missiles.
Now, in a Truth Social post, the president said the armada is moving quickly, says he's ready, willing, able to rapidly fulfill its mission with speed and violence if necessary.
The Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman, making a phone call to the Iranian president, Masoud Pezeshkian, and a Saudi readout of that call saying that the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia will not allow its airspace or territory to be used for any military actions against Iran.
Now, in a moment, we'll head over to China, where there was an awfully interesting meeting going on this morning between the UK and China. We'll get to that in just a moment. But first, 5:15, let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk. Good morning, Justin Ellis.
Good morning to you, Noam Layden.
Start out here in Toronto. The Mikal Bridges scored 19 of his 30 points in the third quarter. Karl-Anthony Towns had a season-high 22 rebounds, and the Knicks extended their winning streak to four, rallying past the Toronto Raptors, 119-92. OG Anunoby had 26 points and a season-high six steals against his former team. Josh Hart scored 22 points. Jalen Brunson added 13, and the Knicks won their 11th straight meeting with Toronto. Towns had 14 rebounds in the second quarter alone. He finished with 8 points on 3 of 11 shooting. Bridges went 12 of 15 from the field, including 4 of 6 from 3-point range. Mitchell Robinson with a left ankle and Miles McBride also with a left ankle. Both sat for New York after playing in Tuesday's home win over Sacramento. Up next for the Knicks, they'll host Portland come tomorrow. Nets back in action tonight out in Denver against the Nuggets. That is a 9 p.m. tip-off there. Head to the ice now in Elmont.
The Giants. What? Are the Knicks going to get Giannis?
I don't know, but he seems to be packing up.
He's definitely leaving.
Yeah.
So it's either Golden State or New York. That's what I hear. Those are the top two contenders. Is that right?
I guess so, but we're going to find out sooner rather than later. That's for damn sure.
The Knicks want him, right?
Of course they want him. Why wouldn't you want Giannis?
Do you think that's the missing piece? Do you think this team, if he comes and plays?
Well, it all depends what you have to give up for him, obviously. Yeah. You know, you'd have to assume you're giving up some pretty valuable pieces, at least not only on that starting lineup, but coming off that bench for the Knicks. Obviously, Giannis would help. So do what you have to do, I think, to bring in a player like that. But again, you know, and the current group isn't exactly meshing like a lot of Knicks fans really wanted them to. You know, obviously they've won 4 straight here. But before that, they were really struggling to score points, to beat bad teams. So maybe Giannis helps that. We'll see.
Why are the Bucks giving him up?
I don't know. I mean, that's a bad divorce there. It is,
does he not want to play for them anymore? Is what's going on? Do you know?
I don't know. Do I talk to him every day?
Well, you are the sports reporter, so I thought I'd ask you.
Giannis Antetokounmpo every day. Let me call Giannis. Let me ask him what his feelings are about why he wants to get out of Milwaukee.
Well, I'm guessing he wants out, right? Otherwise, they wouldn't be dealing with him.
Of course he wants out. Okay. Yes, he's wanted out for a while.
And did you see him on the streets of New York? So maybe he really does want to come here to New York.
I did see him on the streets of New York. He was... He was nice, I guess. He could have been nicer, but maybe he comes and plays for the Knicks, you know. We start getting him on the show, all those good things. And then we become really good friends. Courtside seats.
I have a feeling he's going to go to Golden State, but all right.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Andre Palat scored the opening goal, added an assist in his debut with the Islanders, who defeated the Rangers 5-2. Up next, Rangers host the Islanders tonight for the second half of a home-and-home puck drop from MSG. It's scheduled for 7 p.m. Also tonight, Devils return to the ice. They'll welcome in the Nashville Predators at 7 p.m. That is your sports sponsored by Pete Morgan. Not yet, actually. That's just your sports, and I'm Justin Alec on 77 WABC. Look at the clock, Alec. Come on.
Yeah, it's early. WABC News Time 520. Secretary of State Marco Rubio testifying yesterday before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on Venezuela. He says the interim Venezuelan president, Delcy Rodriguez, is working with the U.S. towards a stable, prosperous future.
The president never rules out his options as commander-in-chief to protect the national interest of the United States. I can tell you right now with full certainty, we are not postured to, nor do we intend or expect to have to take any military action in Venezuela.
Rubio says the country, Venezuela, has the potential to be the wealthiest in the region.
We just want it to be a normal, prosperous country again, not a playground for Iran, Russia, and China in our own hemisphere. And we're going to try to help them get that because we think it serves our national interest. And I recognize that it won't be easy. I mean, look, at the end of the day, we are dealing with people over there that have spent most of their lives living in a gangster paradise. So it's not going to be like from one day to the next. And we are certainly better off today in Venezuela than we were 4 weeks ago.
And right after that hearing in Washington yesterday, Rubio was set to meet with Venezuelan opposition leader Maria Corina Machado. China and the UK apparently taking steps towards building a new partnership. Watching this morning, Chinese President Xi Jinping meeting with Prime Minister Keir Starmer this morning and said China's willing to develop a long-term strategic relationship with the UK. Starmer says the UK is looking to build more sophisticated ties with China, and that's why he's there this morning.
Our trading relationships support hundreds of thousands of jobs in each other's countries and have gone on for a very, very long history.
Now, visit comes as President Trump has threatened tariffs against traditional U.S. allies.
Where we can identify opportunities to collaborate, but of course also allow a meaningful dialogue on areas where we disagree.
Prime Minister on a four-day visit to China with a dozen of British business leaders. Several other Western leaders have also visited China in the last couple months, including the prime ministers of Canada, Ireland, and Finland. Church of England being led by a woman for the first time in its history. In a solemn ceremony yesterday, Sarah Mullaly was officially installed as the new Archbishop of Canterbury. That took place yesterday morning. 522, let's bring it back home. The president says his Trump accounts saving initiative is giving kids a fair shot at the American dream. He was speaking at a summit in D.C. on the program. He says over the years, the program will transfer $3 to $4 trillion of wealth into the hands of American kids.
Every president in modern history has left our children with nothing but debt. But under this administration, we're going to leave every child with real assets and a shot at financial freedom.
Under the program, every American child born during his second term, the president's second term, will receive a $1,000 tax-free government deposit to jumpstart an account.
We'll ensure that Americans don't just end their lives with a nest egg, but instead all Americans will begin their lives with a beautiful nest egg.
And the president thanking Michael and Susan Dell for donating more than $6 billion for these Trump accounts.
Michael and Susan made this donation in recognition of America's 250th anniversary because there's no better way to honor America's history than to invest in America's future. That's what they did.
Yeah, what a patriotic move on the part of the Dells. The president says even people who hate him are going to take advantage of this program. 523, Amazon says it's going to cut 16,000 jobs. Mitch McCann reports the company announcing the layoffs in a memo to employees yesterday.
The company's vice president of people, experience, and technology said the company is working to reduce bureaucracy and the number of layers in its organizational structure. In late October last year, the company made large cuts to its corporate workforce, cutting 14,000 jobs and signaled that more layoffs were coming in January.
Now, Amazon does employ more than 1.5 million workers worldwide.
It's reported that one of the main reasons the online retailer has been making reductions is to redirect spending towards building data centers for artificial intelligence. The company reportedly sent an email to Amazon Cloud employees on Tuesday acknowledging organizational changes and an apparent error.
Yeah, that was a little bit of an embarrassment for the online retailer because the details of those layoffs were leaked by accident a day before they were actually supposed to go out. 524, a nationwide coalition of conservative organizations have launched a campaign now to overturn the Supreme Court ruling which legalized gay marriage.
We believe that kids deserve the unique and irreplaceable gift of both having a mother and having a father.
Jonathan Covey is with the group Texas Values, which is part of this push. He's called the landmark 2015 ruling an illegitimate power grab because it took authority away from the state.
The studies show that kids are more well prepared for life.
And he says the landmark ruling also departed from the court's own historical test.
The court would typically ask whether a claimed right was deeply rooted in the nation's history and tradition.
And this group's trying to involve the case, trying to mobilize some Christian organization churches to take up the cause. 525, the mayor of San Francisco says he's eager to show off their success in the fight against fentanyl when football fans arrive for the Super Bowl in 2 weeks.
Our downtown core crime was down this past year 40%.
Daniel Lurie, speaking at the U.S. Conference of Mayors yesterday, he says 3 years ago they had over 800 people die of fentanyl overdoses. That number come down big time, but he admits they still have a real issue on that front. But he says in their downtown area, core crime is down big time.
When it comes to those dealing drugs, we have sent out a clear message that we're coming after you. We've made thousands and thousands of arrests.
And he says he can't wait to show off San Francisco to the thousands of fans who will come for the Super Bowl. Health experts say vitamin D can be hard to come by in the winter because one of the main sources, of course, is sunlight. Dr. Neha Voss is with the Cleveland Clinic, and he says not getting enough of vitamin D can result in a number of issues.
Mood changes or fatigue
or bone pain. It can be very serious, and if you don't have the right amount of vitamin D, it can lead to fractures and general ill health.
Dr. Voss recommends going outside on warmer days when the sun's out and getting vitamin D, or getting vitamin D from foods like fatty fish, egg yolks, mushrooms, as well as milk and yogurt. She says a blood test can show whether someone is getting enough vitamin D. I think almost any time you take that test, it tells you you're not getting enough vitamin D. First Lady Melania Trump, she took a hands-on approach to her new documentary, Melania.
Well, I led the production, and I had a great team around me and a very talented director. But, you know, that was my life. So whatever I did, the cameras were following me.
She says President Trump has seen the film and loved it. The First Lady hopes people who see the film will learn about who she really is.
He saw the movie first day on Saturday. Loved it.
Melania made its world premiere last night at the Trump Kennedy Center in D.C. The documentary about 20 days in the life of the First Lady leading up to their second term in Washington.
It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noam Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, Traffic, Justin Ellick, Sports. And now,
Talking the News with Noam
on 77 WABC.
Yes, that's me. Good morning. It is Thursday, January 29th. Your forecast from the 77 WABC Weather Center. Sunshine today, but it's not going to warm things up. The high 22. Tonight and overnight, clear, low 8. And then Friday, sunny, the high only 18. If you are walking out the door with us right now, so happy you are. It is 1 degree and clear in Katona up in Westchester County. It is 5 and clear in Harrison over in New Jersey. And it's 6 and clear right outside our Midtown studios. Time for traffic, transit. Here's Joe Nolan.
It's balmy here along the Jersey Shore. 11.
Wow, I wish I was there. WABC News Time 5:40. I know we're all sick of the cold, the snow. Unfortunately, there is a little more snow in the forecast for this weekend.
Remember the Irma bomb cyclone? Well, we could be getting another one, which could potentially bring blizzard-like conditions this weekend. A bombogenesis or bomb cyclone is where the pressure drops and deepens and intensifies in the center. It has explosive winds of more than 60 miles an hour in the ocean and often brings blizzard-like conditions with it. Forecasters are watching two weather models, and depending on how close it gets to our coastline will depend how bad we get hit. Lisa G, 77 WABC News.
All right, this is the forecast for right now. The five boroughs will generally receive between 1 and 3 inches of snow on Sunday. The wind gusts will be the issue. 45 miles per hour when this thing moves in about 8 a.m. on Sunday morning. Lasts all day until 8 p.m. That's the latest forecast. Now, if you're closer to the water, like down the Jersey Shore or Long Island, you could get 3 to 6 inches, but still not clear if this is 100% dead on the forecast, because it's still just Thursday. Probably have a much clearer picture of what this is all like come tomorrow. And of course, keep it here, 77 WABC, for the latest on that. And then it seems like we have another weather-related death up in the Bronx. A 40-year-old man was found dead on a one train in Fieldston yesterday at the Van Cortlandt Street subway station. This was about noon yesterday. EMS pronounced the man dead at the scene. Police said there was no visible wounds. There was no foul play. So the sense is maybe it had to do with the weather. The medical examiner will determine the cause of death. And the New York City Department of Sanitation, they have shifted from moving the snow to melting as much as they can.
It must be some kind of hot tub time machine.
Everybody's already sick of the massive piles of dirty snow, so sanitation workers will be hauling snow piles to 5 locations around the city. There's one in each borough.
In the hot tub.
There, the snow piles go into what are essentially giant hot tubs to melt. They can melt 240,000 pounds of snow per hour, and the melted snow then enters the city's sewer system. James Flippin for 77 WABC News.
Hot tub in a hot tub.
It's right. It is like a hot tub. So I went out I was in a hotel room here in the city for the first couple days this week because we don't want to get trapped in Jersey and not be able to come and do, you know, things like the news hour and sit in Friends in the Morning. Didn't want to miss the big 10th anniversary on Tuesday. And so nobody in my family thought to dig out one of our cars. So I went to dig it out yesterday, and it was unbelievable how much ice and snow was caked on it from the plow trucks coming by and just from people, you know, throwing snow on top of it from other cars because we park right on the street like everybody else. And it took me a long time, but I did finally get it done. But for people who just don't have the ability to do so, they're now turning to paying someone to dig them out. And we found this crew. There was this crew out in Brooklyn. He owns this business called Where Are We Going Moving Solutions. Okay. And what he's been making money doing, and a lot of it over the last couple days, is going up to people and saying, hey, do you want me to dig out your car? And if you're trapped by mountains of snow from the snowplows and you don't have a shovel, maybe you just don't have the physical abilities to do so, you pay this guy. So how much does he get to dig out your car? What do you guess? Take a guess. Okay. You're wrong.
We start at 100, and then the more ice,
$100.
We go up from there. After 3-4 days of not moving your car, like, it turns into black ice. As you can see, it's black ice.
Yeah, $100. That seems like a lot of money to me, but he says he's had no issue getting people to pay it. So he says he comes out either with him or some of his crew members, and they'll dig out the car as quick as they can. $100 he gets.
I'm picking up boulders of ice. I'm breaking ice. I'm also investing in equipment and stuff like that.
Now, I might be wrong, and I thought that that was kind of high, because when you talk to people in Brooklyn who saw this guy, they say, you know, I might pay $100 to have someone dig out my car.
I know he's a very hard job.
I think $100 is so much. I would have paid $100. I don't like shoveling.
People are always hustling it, so if you don't want to do your stuff and you get the money,
yeah.
Oh yeah, do it, man.
I mean, good job by that guy. I guess he's collecting a lot of loot. In a moment, we'll tell you about one of the people that was part of that protest, the ICE protest, the anti-ICE protest inside a hotel lobby in Tribeca. You might be surprised to hear who was there. We'll get into that in just a moment. But first, 5:45, let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk, and here's Justin Allen.
Thank you, Noah Maledon. Starter in Toronto, Mikal Bridges scored 19 of his 30 points in the third quarter. Karl Anthony Towns had a season-high 22 rebounds, and the Knicks extended their winning streak to 4, rallying past the Toronto Raptors 119-92. Up next for the Knicks, they'll host Portland tomorrow. 9 p.m. tonight, the Nets still return to action in Denver against the Nuggets. Head to the ice in Elmont. Andre Palat scored the opening goal and added an assist in his debut with the Islanders, who defeated their crosstown rival Rangers 5-2. Holmstrom had a goal and two assists. David Rittich made 14 saves, and the Islanders won their second straight game. Barzal, Jean-Gabriel Pageau, and Emil Heinemann also scored. Zibanejad and Radish scored for the Rangers. Spencer Martin stopped 31 shots for the Rangers. Lost for the fourth time in the last five games. They're 2-8-1 since they won the Winter Classic in Florida on January 2nd. Star forward Artemi Panarin was held out of the lineup for roster management purposes and will not play again for the Rangers before the Olympic break. Up next for both squads, I should say. Rangers will host the Islanders tonight again for the second half of a home-and-home. Puck drop from MSG is scheduled for 7 p.m. Also tonight, Devils returning to action at home. They'll welcome in the Nashville Predators also at 7. That's your sports, sponsored by Justin Ellick on 77 WAB. That's the second time I did that this morning.
That's nice of you to have it sponsored by you.
By myself.
Yeah, I wonder, I'd be curious to know how much you paid for that.
not much.
Oh, okay.
Pennies on the dollar there.
Yeah.
Back to you.
WABC News Time 549. The son of a former New York City mayor was among dozens of protesters arrested Tuesday night at a hotel believed to be housing federal immigration agents.
Dante de Blasio, son of former Mayor Bill de Blasio, was in the group charged with disorderly conduct after they were arrested in the lobby of the Hilton Garden Inn Tribeca on 6th Avenue. The 29-year-old junior de Blasio spoke later with the Daily News, calling ICE's actions violent and un-American, adding ICE is operating like a rogue authoritarian agency, snatching people off the streets with impunity. The 66 people arrested want Hilton to stop housing ICE agents. Current Mayor Zoran Mamdani praised both police and the protesters.
Andrew Whitman, NBC News Radio, New York.
Prosecutors have accused a top aide to former Mayor Adams of accepting diamond earrings from two real estate developers, then pressuring city regulators to expedite their construction projects despite some safety concerns. In court papers that were filed this week, prosecutors here in Manhattan offered new details about one of several bribery schemes they say was carried out by Ingrid Lewis Martin, a close confidant of Adams, who once served as the second most powerful person in city government. Now, prosecutors have accused the top aide of accepting those earrings that were about $3,000 or so. Lewis Martin resigned, you'll remember, in 2024, shortly after she and her son were charged with raking in over $100,000 in bribes from two developers. Things, by the way, they've pled not guilty to all those charges. 550, police arrested, charged a man yesterday in connection to a high-rise fire in the Bronx that killed a person, injured more than a dozen people over the weekend. Detectives charged 55-year-old Samuel Calderon with two counts of murder, manslaughter, contempt, and harassment. The deadly fire at the Boston Sakura houses in East Chester took place Saturday. It was sparked by a gas explosion. And, well, here are some people responding to the fact that this thing was started potentially on purpose. Well, a gas leak led to it. I'll explain in a moment.
I didn't really pay too much attention to it until the explosion happened. And then I saw the firefighters running from outside the truck into the building. I said, okay, that was real. Oh, I heard. I felt it.
It's kind of messed up. Looking at everything that all the innocent people have to deal with.
Yeah, so Calderon, this is what police say, ripped a stove away from inside of an apartment in that building. It might have been an ex-girlfriend's apartment. It left a gas leak, and then that gas leak led to an explosion. And the reason he had ripped that appliance out was apparently he was going to sell it, try to sell the stove for drugs. The explosion fully engulfed some of the apartments in this building, and for others, if they're able to go back home, they don't necessarily have power or electricity. But of course, someone was killed in this, a 60-year-old.
Right now, I'm coming from buying food for my sons because I can't cook.
My thoughts and prayers are with the person who lost their lives, the people who are now displaced and have to figure out how to start over. You know, it wasn't worth it. We know it wasn't worth it.
No, sources say Calderon somehow got into his ex's apartment. They don't know how. That's when he tried to pull the appliance out with the idea that he was going to sell it to get drugs. 552, Mayor Mamdani blasting former Mayor Eric Adams, former Governor Andrew Cuomo, accusing them of creating an enormous $12 billion budget crisis for the Big Apple.
We are speaking about a fiscal crisis at the scale greater than the Great Recession. And so there will not be one single thing that can answer that crisis. It will require us to pursue every single avenue.
Mamdani says when his staff looked at the numbers, they found Adams intentionally under-budgeted while Cuomo extracted city resources and withheld from the city what it was owed.
And what we are going to do is exhaust every option to make it clear that the time has come to reset the relationship between the city, its wealthiest residents, its most profitable corporations, and with Albany. He not only failed to budget sufficiently, he ignored projections that indicated major expenses would rise in years to come. The time has come to tax the richest New Yorkers and most profitable corporations. This is the wealthiest city and the wealthiest country in the history of the world. And yet we have allowed one in four New Yorkers to live in poverty.
So Mamdani, who made these promises on the campaign trail that he was going to tax New York's wealthiest to pay for programs, now trying to do that, especially with this huge budget hole that he's facing. 553 out to Long Island, where a group of activists tried to take over a town hall meeting that was being held by Congressman Tom Suozzi at a synagogue in Roslyn. It was happening at the same time that Congresswoman Ilhan Omar was confronted and sprayed with that liquid at an event in Minnesota. So he was at Temple Beth Shalom, Tom Suozzi, and this, as he started to speak, this group who are anti-ICE started to get up and scream at him. Now, none of them raced at him like that individual did at Ilhan Omar.
They throw me out! These people! No!
Now, during the outburst, Suozzi said he wanted to let those people speak out their frustrations. He didn't seem too concerned as he stood up on the bima as he spoke to the crowd below.
As a Jewish man, I have never felt safer than when there is a masked Gestapo.
let him in the street.
It's okay. It's okay. Let him finish. People want to express themselves like that. That's what happens in today's world, unfortunately.
Yeah, we've been seeing this happen in a lot of these town hall meetings as Congress members go back home. Ilhan Omar, she was confronted by that individual. We now found it was vinegar that was sprayed on her at that event in Minnesota. She was okay. That man who sprayed the liquid, he was arrested. 5:55, the future of congestion pricing in New York City, still up the air now.
A U.S. district judge delayed his decision in court on Wednesday to determine the future of congestion pricing in New York City. Judge Lyman stated that he would issue a final decision in writing at a later date. This New Yorker thinks the tolls are unfair.
I'd rather funds be used effectively. This is not an effective use of funds. Who the burden falls upon, like it falls upon, I guess.
President Trump has called congestion pricing a tax. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy tried to end the program, but the MTA sued. I'm Lisa Ritchie, 77 WABC News.
If you're planning a trip to the DMV next month, listen close.
The New York State DMV plans to shut down for several days as it undergoes a software update. The state says it will pause operations from February 13th to February 17th as it rolls out what's being billed as new modernized technology. And that means offices, online transactions, and phone services will be unavailable until operations resume February 18th. The DMV says it will give customers better and streamlined services once the update is complete. James Flippin for 77 WABC News.
And a frightening story out of Brooklyn. A woman says her sense of safety totally shattered after a person broke into her apartment while she was home Monday night. She said it was a normal night. She had just finished work, put down her laptop on her couch, and then she heard a noise, and she went into her kitchen, and there was a woman just standing there.
And I came in the kitchen, and she was already in my kitchen. I didn't even hear the door open. I just screamed, and told her to get the F out of my apartment, out of my house, and she bolted down the stairs.
Yeah, and that woman was trying to take something she thinks out of her purse, but she wasn't 100% sure. And then police showed her a picture of the person who it was, and she said, I know that person. It's a person I've helped out in the past, a homeless woman. And so she says, while she's not happy that this homeless woman tried to break it to her apartment, she says she does feel for her circumstances.
You never know what somebody's situation is, but also you can't be overly assumptive that it's a safe person and that it's a safe situation. It does suck that the only option was to call the police and now have to have this woman arrested.
And as she now sleeps with one eye open, she says she's bought tools for protection, and now she says she can just move out of that apartment completely.
Thanks for listening to the NewsHour with Noam Layden. You can hear the NewsHour with Noam Layden weekday mornings at 5 on 77 WABC. If you like the podcast, share it with your friends and listen anytime at WABCRadio.com and download the WABC Radio app. Hit that subscribe button on all major podcast platforms. Plus, follow WABC on social, on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and X. See you next time for a new episode so you never have to wonder.
What the heck is going on here?
77 WABC and Bergen Newbridge Medical Center honor the life of legendary broadcaster and our friend, Ernie Anastas.
Hi, it's Ernie Anastas. You know, your thoughts can affect how you feel. Bergen Newbridge Medical Center is the largest hospital in New Jersey, providing comprehensive, equitable, compassionate, and high-quality emergency inpatient and outpatient medical care, plus mental health services and substance use disorder treatment. The Bergen Newbridge team can address your total health needs in one convenient location. Call 201-225-7130 for an appointment or newbridgehealth.org.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.